So Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, reads like this. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. The old King James, I like the way the old King James says, they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Would you bow for prayer? Father, we thank you not just for this day in which we can celebrate the birth of your Son, which is the most important thing, what Christmas is really about, but also to spend family time, to enjoy eating together and opening gifts and taking pictures and just loving our family members. I thank you for that great gift that you've given us. And Lord, today as we turn to your word, I pray that you would help us to understand what this message is about, how it affects us, how it can change our lives. I pray that our children would be able to grasp it, even at their level, to grasp the teaching of your word today. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you today about Christmas is for all people. That's the title of my message today. Christmas is for all people. And I take that title from the phrase that in the verses that we just read, where we read the words, to all people. The angel answered them and said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy. And here it is, to all people. To all people. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Do you notice any restrictions in that verse? To all people. Any qualifiers? Any conditions? Any limits? No. To all people means to all people. Now, this entire month of December, we've been in a series, a preaching series titled Cool Yule, Why Christmas is the Best Thing Ever. And we've looked at different reasons why Christmas is great for all of us. Sometimes we say Christmas is for children, and certainly it is that. We love to see the expressions on their faces as they celebrate, as they open gifts and so on. But for all of us, it's the best thing ever. And so today I want to tell you, and here's a big idea of what I want to talk to you about, is that Christmas is the best thing ever because it's good news to all people. Christmas is good news to all people. It doesn't matter if you're a person of faith or not, if you're a Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, you're Muslim, whatever you might be. If you don't have any faith at all, if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter. Christmas is for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. Now, 40 days after Jesus was born, his parents, Mary and Joseph, took him to Jerusalem to be dedicated at the temple. And so while they were at the temple for this rite of dedication that they practiced, they met an older man. He was a priest at the temple. His name was Simeon. Now, God had spoken to Simeon and had promised him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, until he saw the coming Savior of the world. That was the promise that God had made to this older priest named Simeon. So when Joseph and Mary showed up that day, Simeon, it was going to be his job to dedicate this baby to the Lord. And so when they showed up, he had no idea who Mary and Joseph were, just another Jewish couple coming to dedicate their baby. But when he looked at this baby, he instantly knew that this is the baby, this is the one that God had told him about, that God had promised. He knew instantly that this baby was the fulfillment of God's promise. So I want to read that story in Luke chapter 2, same chapter, beginning now with verse 25. Luke 2:25 reads like this. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation." And notice the next words. "I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." Again, Christmas is for all people. Simeon knew it. The angels told the shepherds about this. Christmas is for all people and for all nations. What Jesus came to do, he came to do for everyone. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because it reminds us that God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have favorites. God loves all people, and he came as Jesus, human flesh for all people. And so I want us to look at some of the things we learn about God from Christmas. And the first thing is this. I'm going to have three things to tell you, 3 points. Here's the first one. God shines his goodness on all people. God shines his goodness on all people. Now, a lot of people don't get this. Here's the way they see God. A lot of people think that God is only good to good people, right? Only good to people that are good. So they think they have to balance out their good deeds with their bad deeds and hope that they have more good deeds to balance out the bad deeds, because they think that God's only good to good people, people who are good. In other words, if you're good, you get God's blessing. If you're good, you get the goods from God. But if you're bad, God's going to be bad to you. In other words, it's a performance-driven philosophy. It's a performance-driven idea that God only smiles on us when we're doing good things. Now, people who believe this, what they've done, obviously, is they've confused God with Santa Claus, right? Because Santa Claus is a guy who's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice, right? So you better not pout, you better not cry. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. I mean, that's totally performance-driven theology. The problem is, that's not biblical. Because what we learn from the scriptures about God is that God shines his goodness on everyone. In Matthew 5:45, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 5:45, "For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good." The evil and the good. "And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." Everybody receives God's rain, right? It doesn't rain only over Solid Rock Church. It rains everywhere, or any other church, right? Or only on certain homes that need the rain. And God says, "I'm not going to send rain over their house, over their property, because they're ignoring me." No, God doesn't play favorites with his grace. And we're talking about grace. He doesn't play favorites with his goodness. Now, the theological term, for those of you who are interested in theology, the theological term for what I'm teaching right now is called common grace. There's something called common grace. Everybody receives this common grace from God. What that means is that God is good even to atheists. God is good to people who rebel against him. God is good to people who ignore him their entire lives. God is good to you whether you understand it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you realize it or not. Because everything that is good in your life is a gift from God. It all comes from God. Here's what Psalm 145:9 says. "The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." And so what the Bible is teaching here is the exact opposite of what our culture teaches us, because the world teaches us that basically that we get what we deserve in life. You get what you deserve. If you're not getting the goods, then you're not working hard enough. Just, buck up, get in gear, try harder, because you get what you deserve. I mean, there are entire religions that are based on this model, like Hinduism, Buddhism. In Buddhism, this is called karma. You ever heard that? This is called karma. You know what karma is? Karma is the idea that if bad things happen to you, it's because you're bad. You're bad, and so bad things will happen to you. If good things happen to you, it's because you're good. If terrible things happen to you, it's because you're terrible. So karma says you get what you deserve out of life, and if you've been a bad person, all this bad stuff is going to happen to you because God's getting even with you. That's not biblical. That's not grace. That's karma. God doesn't operate by karma. He operates by grace. Everything in your life is a gift of God's goodness, whether you acknowledge God or not. Because God's good to you based on who He is, not based on who you are. And so, Christmas is a reminder that God shines His goodness in all people. Now, secondly, Christmas is a reminder that God showers His love on all people. He shines His goodness and He showers His love on all people. Did you know that God has never made a person that He doesn't love? If your heart is beating right now, and it is, then God loves you. If you're breathing right now, and you are, then God loves you. If God hadn't wanted to love you, you wouldn't be here right now. He wouldn't have created you. You wouldn't exist because it was God who thought you up. He thought you up before your parents even knew anything about this. God made you to love you. The whole reason you're alive is because you were made by loving God to be loved by Him. And God doesn't create anything that He doesn't love. And the Bible says that He showers His love on you every day of your life. Now, we just read this verse, but I want to read it again. Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good. There's God's goodness, right? The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. He showers compassion on all His creation. I love that word. I love how in the Scriptures, God has words for us of abundance. For example, He says about tithing, He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. He says, test me in this and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, so much blessing that you don't have room to contain everything I'm going to give you. He uses pour out. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, we read that in the last days, God promised to pour out His Holy Spirit on all flesh. There are these words of abundance, and here we read that He showers compassion on all His creation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about water-saving shower heads. I know they're good, and they've gotten better, right? They've gotten better. But when I'm going to take a shower, I want to take a shower. I don't want to just dribble, you know? I don't tell my wife, I'm going to get in the dribble. No, I want to get in the shower. Because when you're old like us, we tell each other everything. I'm going to the bathroom. Be right back. You know, just say everything, right? So I want a shower, not a dribble. Well, the Bible says that God showers His love, His compassion, His goodness. He doesn't dribble it over you a little bit. I better not give Him too much of my love. I don't want Him to get a big head. No, He showers. He's not stingy with His love. Look at Psalm 42:8. Psalm 42:8. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life. But every day He pours out His unfailing love. Now, I do need to be clear about this. I think this is very important. God loves you unconditionally. But that doesn't mean that He approves of everything you do. Unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional approval. Unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional approval. Those of you who are parents, you understand this, right? Your parents, do you love your children? Of course you do. Do you approve of everything they do? No. But do you still love them? Yes. So God is the same way. He loves us unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want and it won't make God sad or upset. This is not carte blanche, just do what you want and I'll love you and it won't matter. Yeah, some things we do wrong do matter. They hurt us. They put us in the wrong direction, and not the direction that God wants us to take, but they take us away from God, and they could affect our eternal destiny, right? So this is not, unconditional love does not equal unconditional approval, but the point I'm trying to help you understand is that no matter what you do, God loves you, and He loves you so much that He wants to bring you back around when you go astray, when we lose our way. And you can never, throughout this whole time, you can never say that God stopped loving you. You can never cause God to stop loving you. No matter what you do, you'll never be able to do that because God loves you unconditionally. Now, how do we know He loves us? He didn't just say it, but He showed it. When He sent His Son to be born, you know what Jesus did when Jesus came to earth? He made your problem His problem before you even know you had a problem. In fact, before you were even born, He solved your problem by coming and being born of a virgin and then living His life and dying for you on the cross, because love is something you do. Love is a verb. Love is action. And Jesus took initiative on your behalf before you even knew you needed a Savior. We read that the angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." The angel told Joseph that he was to marry Mary, even though she was already with child, because she would give birth to a baby. And the angel said, "You will call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." The word Jesus means Savior. So Jesus came at Christmas as an example of love in action, because God showers His people with love. God shines His goodness on all people. He showers His love on all people. And then finally, the third point is this: God sacrificed His Son for all people. He sacrificed His Son for all people. He sent Him to earth to be the Savior of the world. We read in 1 Timothy 2:6, "He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is a message God gave to the world at just the right time, in the fullness of time." He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone, for all people. Now in the Bible, the symbol of Jesus sacrificing Himself for us is known as the sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial lamb. This symbol, this metaphor is used because lambs are harmless. They never hurt anybody. I've never seen a movie about the attack of the lambs. They don't hurt anybody. They're not predators. They're innocent. They don't do anything wrong. And Jesus didn't hurt anyone. He was killed. He was tortured. He was scourged. He was crucified. He didn't deserve to die. He had done no wrong. He was sinless. He was the Son of God, and yet He was sacrificed by evil men. But He did it willingly because He was the Lamb of God. We read in John 1:29, when John the Baptist, His cousin, saw Him, how he declared Him in verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now you might be thinking, why are we talking about Jesus dying as a sacrifice at Christmas? Isn't that for Holy Week, right? Holy Week at Easter. Why are we talking about this at Christmas? Well, because, and this is very important, because without the cross, Christmas is irrelevant. Christmas means nothing without Jesus dying and then rising from the dead. If Jesus had remained a baby in that little manger, we would have nothing to celebrate. Nothing. There's no reason. There would be no reason to spend an entire month getting ready for the celebration. No reason to put up the Christmas lights, which all have their symbolism, right? The Christmas tree, playing music, songs about Jesus in every store. The time you go out there, this is the only time of the year you go into a store, a business, and they're playing songs about Jesus. Yay, Jesus, you know? So I love Christmas. But that we wouldn't need to do that because we would still be in our sins. We would still be captive to our sins. But Jesus died for all people so that all people could be saved and have a new start. So let me just finish with this. Christmas then is about an invitation, one that goes out to all people. An invitation for everyone, for you that are here today, for you that are watching online today. An invitation to surrender your life to the God who loves you, the God who shines His goodness on you, even when you don't deserve it. It's an invitation to make a decision today that from this day forward, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God with all my heart. I'm going to read His word and use it as my guide. I'm going to follow God from this day forward. It's an invitation for you to take that step. It's an amazing thing, the life change that happens when we do that. This week, I was on Twitter, which is my social media of choice. And so I was on Twitter and I came across a Twitter account from a young girl. I think she looks to be kind of young. She's from Texas, in fact. And somebody that I follow liked her tweet. That's why it popped up in my feed. And so I kind of started reading her tweets, and I found out a little bit about her. She says on her Twitter bio that she's an ex-atheist, ex-trans, and some other, you know, things in her past. And she's a follower of Jesus. And I found on her, one of her tweets, where she said, "On this day I declare that Jesus is my Lord," and just her, you know, her devotion to God. And then apparently she's lost a lot of followers and she gets a lot of hate tweets directed at her. But she seems to be very, very determined. Just again, just based on that, I, you know, don't know it anymore beyond that. But I thought, well, this is amazing. But that's what being a follower of Jesus is. It's like making a decision. God loves me so much, and God has done so much good for me that I choose to follow Him from this day forward and to obey Him and to please Him. Now, it's not just a decision, but it's also when you make that decision, it's the Holy Spirit coming into you. It's the Holy Spirit residing in you and making a change. So it's not just like a New Year's resolution when you say, okay, this is a year I'm going to lose weight, or this is a year I'm going to get control of my finances, this is a year I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You know, that's fine, but we're not talking about a New Year's resolution. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming in and making a change in you. In fact, that's a whole reason for God's goodness. That's a whole reason for common grace, that God has shined His goodness on everybody so that they can be alerted to God's love and choose to turn to God. So today, I want to just invite you to make a decision. The reason Christmas is for all people is that God wants all people to be saved. That's why. And that happens when you surrender your life to God and you allow Him to make a change in your life and everything else that's a part of your life. So that's what I want to invite you to do. Surrender your life to Christ. And then let Christmas just always be a reminder of the goodness of God, the love of God, and the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. I'm going to invite you to bow for prayer. Now, if you today have never given your life to Christ, then you might pray something like this as we pray together. As I pray this, just add your agreement in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all your goodness to us. I thank you for loving us and caring about every detail of our lives. Most of all, Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, at Christmas to save us. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And Lord, today I pray for those that have not received him into their hearts as their Savior, that they would say right now in their prayer, in their mind, or maybe even speak it out, they would say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Please forgive my sins and accept me into your family. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you and to follow you for the rest of my life here on earth. And then I want to be able to join you in heaven forever. I pray, dear God, that if someone here in this place or someone watching online or maybe in the future listening to the podcast or watching a replay, that they would be able to make that decision and pray those words and receive the gift of eternal life that you have for us today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your sacrifice that bought our salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name.